Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Death Doula's Guide to Living Fully and Dying Prepared, an essential workbook to help you reflect back, plan ahead, and find peace on your journey, by Francesca Lynn Arnoldi. Narrated by Randy Kay. Publisher's note, please have a notebook or note-taking device available while listening to this audiobook, as there will be writing prompts and exercises. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Any personal stories from the author are recounted solely from perspective and memory. Names and identifying details of clients have been changed to protect privacy. The pronoun they will be used as plural as well as singular for gender inclusivity. Foreword. I first met Francesca Lynn Arnoldi in my role as a developmental psychologist, human development specialist teaching in the Human Development and Family Science Program, HDFS, formerly Family Studies, at the University of Vermont, UVM. Francesca was a student at UVM from 1999 to 2003, and she graduated as an HDFS major. Through our program, Francesca studied two central lenses through which to consider individual development, lenses that are evident in her approach to doula work and especially in how she interacts with readers throughout the pages of The Death Doula's Guide to Living Fully and Dying Prepared. The first lens is the life course framework. This calls our attention to the interaction of historical events, early life experiences, and individual decisions and opportunities in affecting later life outcomes. The second lens is Bronfenbrenner's ecological model of human development, originally articulated in his 1979 book. This model focuses our attention on how various environmental contexts affect our development, while also considering how individuals themselves impact their environmental contexts. A core concept in this model is that of ecological transitions. As Bronfenbrenner described these, such transitions occur when a person's position in the ecological environment is altered as a result of a change in role, setting, or both, and every ecological transition is both a consequence and an instigator of developmental processes. Professor Lauren Shelton, another of Francesca's professors in HDFS, explains, ecological transitions provide the person opportunities or challenges to adapt to the new setting or role. As I read this book, I saw evidence of both these lenses. Francesca treats death, the dying process, and preparing for both as the person who is dying and as those who must prepare for life without a loved one, as developmental opportunities. She recognizes that facing our mortality is essentially an ecological transition that presents us with new opportunities and challenges, and that is affected by our life course to date. Through her book, Francesca offers us, her readers, an array of activities and reflections, along with her caring and comforting presence that shines through the pages to support our preparation for this final transition. End-of-life preparation may take place following a terminal diagnosis, but the book is designed for all of us as living beings to anticipate and plan for our own and our loved ones' dying and death. In fact, many of these activities may be easier to approach when not directly confronting a serious illness. I am experiencing this firsthand with a good friend who recently received a terminal diagnosis. As she self-isolates and puts much energy into not thinking about dying and death, I find myself wishing that she had this book just a few months ago and that she and I had worked through many of the activities together, sharing our hopes and fears around life's end. Those conversations could serve to hold her and her loved ones now, even as she focuses her energy away from the reality of her diagnosis. Of course, I would expect her perspectives on dying to continuously evolve, but the earlier conversations and activities could have served as groundwork from which to build, both for my friend and for we who love her. At the core of this new publication, Francesca offers us, her readers, a map that is both broad and intricate, with multiple pathways we might take to better understand ourselves and engage with the final phase of life. That she supplies a map is not surprising, as it is a common thread throughout her body of work. First, in Cultivating the Doula Heart, Essentials of Contemplative Care, Francesca offers would-be doulas a map for how to understand and become a caring and compassionate doula. In her second book, Map of Memory Lane, Francesca's beautifully written and illustrated children's book, she offers another kind of map, a memory map, for young children to imagine before a loved one's death and for them to follow after a loved one's death. This picture book also offers adults a way to open up a conversation with children about mortality and help them imagine loss while also helping them understand that love remains within our memories. Now, through this third book, Francesca offers a guiding map to help readers approach our own final developmental transition from living to dying, from life to death, and from living relationship to memory. Simultaneously, the workbook provides a map for how to be present for and support our loved one's preparation for this final transition. What readers will also find by working through this book is that it is sure to facilitate gentle introspection and a deeper engagement with life itself. The irony of this book, focused as it is on death, is that it really offers a means to living more fully through to its end. Jacqueline S. Weinstock, Ph.D., The University of Vermont. Introduction. Welcome. I am so pleased you found your way here. And I feel honored to provide you with a guided tour through the profound work ahead, which is essentially what I offer to people as their doula. Broadly described, doulas support others through times of intensity, labor, birth, illness, death, or grief, with boundless compassion and steady courage. Since 2009, I have assisted countless clients, friends, loved ones, and neighbors to plan for and experience these unparalleled life transitions. Through workshops, presentations, and training programs, I have taught thousands of people key doula philosophies and practices, the best of which are infused into these pages. Basically, I have emptied the contents of my doula bag into this workbook, my most trusted techniques, approaches, and activities. When offering to support people, I first present an array of offerings and then encourage them to decide what resonates. Please keep this in mind as you begin your efforts. Don't feel pressure to complete each and every prompt and exercise included. Instead, in accordance with your goals and current bandwidth, always feel invited to peruse and choose, try and modify. You might start with the chapters that feel most important and then jump around from there. Or you might take many months to slowly work through each page in order, deciding to engage in activities or not as you go. No matter your particular path, make sure to enjoy a sense of completion and fulfillment along the way. What to expect? The overarching aim of this workbook is to supply helpful guidance for examining your inner workings, creating remembrance gifts, and preparing for your last chapter, whatever your current health status. Discovery of self leads to sharing of self, leads to making plans. The book is highly interactive and includes a wide variety of thought-provoking prompts. There are 7 steps involved, each with a distinct purpose. Part 1, orientation, develop a foundation of compassion. Part 2, preparedness, open to death wellness. Part 3, pause and practice, strengthen your coping techniques. Part 4, processing, explore what feels unfinished and undiscovered. Part 5, projects, clarify and share your authentic self. Part 6, planning, draft your wishes for care. Part 7, parting gifts, say goodbye. The topics and trajectory of these sections stem from my many years supporting people through birth and death, life's epic thresholds. As an educator and doula, I prioritize customized, empowering care for every person I have the honor to serve. Each client experience deepens my reverence and affirms the benefits of healthy preparedness for these most significant periods. When people have not had important conversations ahead of time, others are left to guess, which adds stress to phases already rife with complexity. You might still have some questions and even fears at this point. Who is this book for? What exactly will I learn and do in this book? What qualifies this author to be my guide through it? What will mortality work entail? Let's go through some answers together. Who is this book for? This workbook is for anyone willing to lean into these layered subjects, including, but not exclusively, adults ready to begin or revisit plans for their eventual death, people with a serious or terminal condition looking to prepare for their final phase, people practicing conscious living who want to explore conscious aging and dying, honorary or biological parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, as well as godparents, guide parents, mentors or guardians who want to create remembrance gifts for those they care about. People hoping to lessen their fear of death. Death care workers, family or volunteer caregivers, and professional care providers supporting others through the end of life. Some readers will begin contemplating mortality and documenting their life, death, and care wishes while their health is stable, perhaps sparked by a notable transition, loss, or another type of awakening. Others might feel motivated due to illness or the aging process. As your guide through this process, I aim to inspire you to acknowledge and even reclaim what it means to be mortal, because I have experienced the benefits of these efforts personally, and I have witnessed positive outcomes for others. I became a death care worker by way of birth. Initially, as a birth worker, I focused on the postpartum period, helping families adjust to life at home with a new baby. Then I became a childbirth educator and, a few years later, a birth doula, meaning a non-medical care person who provides informational, emotional, spiritual, and physical support before, during, and after childbirth. Over the years, my mind opened to the endless constellation of possibilities during labor and delivery, and so did my heart. I found that my work untangled and exposed hidden assumptions about what was best for my clients. And so I softened into a stance of curiosity as opposed to righteousness, releasing any strict agenda of how things should go during this great transition. After a handful of years as a birth doula, my family endured a number of losses within a short span. 2 of my grandfathers, my father-in-law, and our dog died. Each death was different, and they all offered profound lessons as part of their legacy. I noticed myself naturally shifting into my doula presence during these heart-rending times. What we were going through seemed so unpredictable, yet I felt the need to nurture trust in the face of all that felt unknown. I found myself slowing down and proceeding with heightened senses. I paid attention to how others were acting and reacting and tended to their diverse needs. I found myself leaning into the mysterious nature of dying while studying the experiences keenly. The organic translation of my birth doula presence to the dying period not only seemed to calm and comfort others, but it also inspired me to explore how to hold space at both bookends of life. In terms of my personal mortality awareness, it wasn't until I became a parent that it really occurred to me how impactful my dying would be on those I love. Parenting younglings coupled with myriad losses, big and small, compelled me to begin my death journal, what I've named my remembrance scrapbook. Truth be told, I cannot recall which entry was the first one, as it has been many years in the making, and I freely skip around its pages. Likely it was a written message, words too weighty to hold inside any longer. Then a few more notes, all dated, followed by some special poems, song lyrics, articles, quotes, mantras, lists, and mementos. Now, my death journal sits at the ready for when it is needed. My closest family members know of its existence and purpose. I have also included information about my end-of-life care preferences. Every now and then, I add to it, filling up the blank spaces with encouraging refrains and comforting sentiments. My death journal allows me to prepare, in advance, reassurance and guidance to those who will miss me most. Selfishly, I hope it will also allow me to surrender into my time of dying with slightly less resistance, as I suspect worries about family will be my heaviest anchor to this lifetime. I anticipate feeling more ease, knowing I have created a gift like no other. A treasure most mourners yearn for following a significant loss. And by writing this workbook, I aim to bring some of that ease to you and yours as well. How to work with this book? This book contains many activities. Some readers will utilize it as a draft. Customization is highly encouraged. You can download worksheets and activities from the website for this book, newharbinger.com/51369. Although this book is organized with scaffolding to build upon as we progress, this is your path. You can choose what to complete and when to complete it. If you decide a section does not apply or appeal, bypass it. You might return to it, you might not. Your call. Conversely, if you find yourself meandering down an unexpected side trail, see where it goes. You might very well find additional ways to expand beyond these pages. Death journaling requires substantial courage. It asks you to acknowledge your impermanence, which is no small task. This is human work, though, and each of us is naturally capable of it. Plus, the potential rewards of these efforts are infinite, including feeling lighter and liberated to live life more fully. Still, some people will have doubts upon beginning this journey and might ask some of the following questions. Will it be depressing? Depressing? Generally not, at least not overwhelmingly so. Poignant? Yes. Profound? Often. It is reasonable to expect moments of heartache and even regret while reminiscing on the life you have lived, those you have loved, and saying goodbye to it all. Still, contemplating death tends to be a gratifying practice. It opens our eyes. We wake up. We realize our time is limited. We pay closer attention to what is happening and develop a deeper appreciation for each good day, knowing it is one less in our grand tally. Mortality awareness immerses us into the present moment. The only way we can act upon the past is by processing and healing from it. The only way we can affect the future is by setting intentions and making mindful decisions. When we're able to see things in this way, we understand the current moment is brimming with potential. Death wellness practices enable us to release some of the heaviness we carry. When we live aware of our mortality, we can regularly take stock, consider what needs mending, and act upon it. By uncovering fears and verbalizing hopes, we lift emotional burdens, and we consider our legacies, all we've done and all we leave behind. We find comfort in the creation of meaningful gifts and messages for our dear ones. We find solace in knowing there will be fewer disagreements between family members before, during, and after our time of dying because we have spelled out wishes in advance. What if my loved one or loved ones dies before me? For the most part, we cannot know the length of our life or that of others. Death journaling will help reveal what feels unresolved, so you can spend time now repairing relationships if that feels necessary, or strengthening them, and addressing what may have gone unsaid. I encourage you to speak the words you hold in your heart while you still can, and also write them down for later. Both are powerful actions. What if I do not have someone to receive my writing? Not everyone intends to share their journaling, and sharing isn't necessary. If you don't have someone to receive this book once you've completed it, and this distresses you, try to navigate those feelings as adaptively as you can. Perhaps a recipient will emerge while doing this work, or that might not happen. Still, it won't negate the value of your efforts. Death journaling is part of an ongoing practice of processing, planning, and preparing that will continue throughout your remaining days. Even on its own, introspection is just as worthwhile as the development of remembrance gifts for others. People have different goals and circumstances. All are valued here. Will thinking or talking about death make it happen? Some people worry that contemplating mortality will bring death closer or cause it to happen sooner. This type of fear can often be dispelled by thinking about the many providers and educators who have dedicated their careers to death care and who have done this work for decades. Yet all fears are valid and deserving of thoughtful consideration. If you have this type of worry and it is rooted in a cultural, religious, or spiritual tradition you grew up within, or some other equally influential source, please know there is no need to defend or explain it. Something, a need or desire, has brought you to this workbook. Follow your heart and create your best way forward. What if I am very ill or facing imminent death? First, please feel the care and concern I wrap around your shoulders. What a complex time! I will not attempt to guess at the many challenges you are facing, as this is your unique path and your interpretation of it is what matters. But I assume your attention is being pulled in many directions. Make sure to honor your energy levels without setting unreachable goals. You will balance spending time being present in the moment with taking time to reflect on the past, alongside any other concerns that may be on your mind. Perhaps there is someone in your care circle who might assist you with this workbook so you can preserve some of your strength for other efforts. May the activities you are able to complete here offer you a sense of accomplishment and peace. To each their own lens. We each carry our own goals and agenda into our death awareness work. As a human being, you are a bountiful collection of genes and characteristics, and you're also shaped by foundational and transformative moments. Your individual lens, which you view the world through, informs how you integrate information. Factors including your race, ethnicity, age, cohort, country of origin, culture, belief system, family environment, identity, lived experiences, and past conditioning influence your outlook. As you move through the chapters of this book, gently note what aspects of your personhood you would like to celebrate, restore, or perhaps shift to be in alignment. Ultimately, many of the prompts and exercises ahead focus on the creative exploration of your mortality, values, legacy, and wishes for care. While the process is quite encompassing of life and death matters, here is a list of what your workbook is not. A repository for secrets. When surviving family members open my death journal, it will not reveal hidden details. They will not discover a whole new side of me. They will find me, familiar me, as they knew and loved me. By drafting entries, I am creating a place for loved ones to visit my essence and the memories we shared. A quick fix for a broken heart or for the fear of death. Some readers will arrive at the beginning of this book laden with grief following a major loss, while others might be harboring intense existential anxiety. Some carry both. There is no fast track through either. There are no easy universal answers. We cannot bypass the time and energy necessary for integration and healing if we aim to be healthy and whole. The only way through struggle is to work through the thick of it, and the process differs from person to person. Death journaling can be a significant part of resolution, though, as it includes thoughtful reflection and honest expression. A medical or legal document. There are helpful worksheets in the appendices that are precursors for advanced care planning, and the work you do within this book, for instance, in articulating your wishes for care at the end of your life, will likely inform some of the information you can include in formal records. But this book is not intended to be a medical or legal document. Many countries and regions within countries have specific templates available that enable you to specify your legal and medical preferences, as well as to elect a decision-making surrogate for times you might not be able to verbalize your wishes. Do some research to explore your local options, getting assistance as needed from caregivers and family, and talk with your primary care provider and a legal professional for more details. Potential hurdles. As you are starting this workbook, you might have reservations or expectations. It's important to be prepared for possible challenges that can keep you from making progress. Writer's block. Some people feel apprehension about writing. This is common. Sometimes this comes from doubting our aptitude. Am I skilled enough to write well? Please know this workbook is not a research paper or formal dissertation. It is you on a page. When shared, it is a generous act of kindness and love. Spelling errors, grammatical slips, and pen smudges help keep it real, and realness is what people tend to crave when dealing with loss. Sometimes fear of writing comes from a deeper place. You might question, how will this be received? And you might wonder what your loved ones and generations to come will think of what you've written. Ultimately, death journaling is a process of illuminating essentials. By expressing inner thoughts, we become vulnerable. First, we uncover our authenticity, and then we find the courage to convey it. Go slowly and build trust in yourself as you do this work. The perfect moment. Perfect moments are elusive. If we wait for conditions to be just so to create our death journals, they will likely remain empty. Excuses and distractions are readily available, and this work is intense. My personal motivational mantra to prevent procrastination is, you'll never have more time than right now. Another trusty one I use is, sit and start. What might be yours? Conversely, it is not advisable to force yourself to complete this entire book in a day. You will need to take breaks to allow thoughts to percolate. I often make better sense of things while walking through the woods, for instance, or pulling weeds in my garden. So when you find yourself wrestling with a question, try to get fresh air or find some other way to relax and open to insight. Ultimately, in mortality work, as with everything, balance is key. My hope is you will find this journey emotionally rewarding and momentum will build upon itself. You will feel inspired and intrigued, and thus drawn to your writing perch. Internal messaging. When we engage in introspective activities, our inner voice can sometimes be judgmental and harsh. We might doubt we've lived a life of worth or that we have interesting stories to share. We might question our value. Sometimes we feel guilty for burdening.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?